Our meditation today will take us into chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. Most of you will know that we're going through a systematic study in this wonderful book. But just before we read some of the verses, let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we acknowledge Thee again. Thou art the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, the God of all power. To Thee we bow our hearts in submission, thanking Thee for every blessing Thou hast conferred upon us, and asking Thee now that during this broadcast Thou shalt bless each listener, help us to be able to take in and understand the lesson, and that our lives may be enriched thereby. Hear us in these things, take glory to Thy great name, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 22 has always been a favorite chapter, even with children in the Sunday school, and with Sunday school teachers, as they like to tell the story about Abraham and Isaac as they ascend Mount Moriah and there to make the offering to God. Let me read a few verses from the chapter. And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt or try Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. He said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. We'll pause there in our reading, and I trust that God will bless to each listener today the verses we have read. Now let me suggest, as an analysis of the chapter, make it easy to remember, that in this delightful chapter we should learn truth pertaining to the purpose of God, and over against that, Abraham's response. Then we learn the lesson regarding the provision of God, and we see Abraham restrained. Then there is a third lesson to be learned. It has to do with the promise of God, and we see Abraham rewarded. Then we should learn the lesson regarding the plan of God, and we are introduced there to Abraham's relatives. Now, the commentary of the Holy Spirit upon this chapter is recorded for us in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. You should take time to read that little portion in connection with the lesson from Genesis 22. Again, in this wonderful chapter, Genesis 22, we are introduced to three words, which develop into three great Bible truths and are interesting studies. For example, this is the first time in the Bible that we're introduced to the idea of love. He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." Isn't it worth noting that when love is introduced to us in the Bible, it's the love that existed between a father and a son. When you come over to the New Testament, the principle is very clear. God is love. You see, before ever the foundation of the world was laid, before ever mankind was created, God is the eternal God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And there was a love that existed in the Godhead. The Father loved the Son. But then again, we are introduced to something else here. We're introduced to the thought of worship. Verse 5, "And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." Now the word worship is used in religious circles today in a very loose sense. Some people seem to imagine that every kind of religious gathering is supposed to be for worship. But I want to remind you, my friend, if you read down through this chapter as we're doing, you'll discover this, that Abraham went up to Mount Moriah to worship. "I and the lad will go yonder and worship." I want to suggest to you that he did not meet here with a large crowd of people. He didn't require to count the audience. Simply Abraham and Isaac, I and the lad. When you come to the New Testament, there's a very beautiful principle laid down by the Lord himself. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Here in Genesis chapter 22, we have a man and his son, "While I and the lad go yonder and worship." So he didn't meet with a large crowd. And really, there's nothing said in this chapter about Abraham singing. You don't get singing mentioned in the Bible until you come to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, after the children of Israel are redeemed from the land of bondage, when they've been brought out and brought over the Red Sea and placed on redemption ground, then they were able to sing their song of thanksgiving and praise unto the Lord who had delivered them. Here in Genesis 22, Abraham and the lad are going to worship, but there's no record of them singing. Now, there's nothing wrong with singing. When you come to the Psalms, you'll find it's a good thing, and we ought to praise the Lord. But here in Genesis 22, we learn that praise and worship are two entirely different things. Thanksgiving is one thing. Praise is another thing. Here we have worship. And so therefore, we discover this in the final analysis, that worship was simply offering something to God, not asking God for anything, but worship was offering something to God. And if you care to examine the passage very carefully, you'll discover this, that Abraham offered to God that which God requested. He didn't simply offer something that he thought out. That's what Cain did way back in the beginning. He brought of the fruit of the ground to offer to God. But here you discover that Abraham offered to God that which God requested. But we go a little further than that. He offered to God that which God provided. And what God provided was acceptable to God. And so Abraham not only put on the altar what God had provided, that was his son, but he also put the substitute on, it was the lamb. And that introduces the thought of the lamb, because here the thought of the lamb is introduced to us in Genesis 22. This is the first time the lamb is mentioned. Or way back in connection with Abel, it says he brought the firstlings of the flock, perfectly true. But here the lamb is definitely mentioned. And it's Isaac who raises the issue and says, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And now when Abram got to the place and built his altar, and he looked round, he saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. So the first look that Abraham had of the lamb was a ram, which was a lamb. That means it was a male of the first year. And it was caught by its horns in the thicket. You know, the first look that the sinner gets of the Savior is the Savior on the cross, crowned with thorns. But the Savior who was crowned with thorns on the cross is crowned with glory now, and the royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. But the first look at the Lamb of God is dying on the cross to take away the sin of the world. So Abraham saw the ram caught by his horns in the thicket, and he placed that ram on the altar as the substitute for Isaac. So you have the combination of the Son of Promise and the ram of God's providing that was the lamb. But when you come to Calvary, the two are combined. He who was the eternal Son of the eternal God is also the Lamb of God, and he becomes our substitute. Now the question may be asked, why did God ask Abraham to offer up his son? Plain words, what was the purpose of God in putting this test to Abraham? Now, when God tested Abraham, it was in order to bring forth the perfect expression of Abraham's faith. What God desired was not Isaac's life, but Abraham's heart. He wanted Abraham's absolute loyalty. There was a definite development, you know, in the tests that Abraham was given, until the crowning act of faith was reached. The first test we took note of in chapter 12. There he is called to leave his earthly residence and his relatives. And he packed all and left Ur of the Chaldees. Then he had further tests in chapter 13. He relinquished his rights of choice and gave place to Lot. In chapter 14, he refused the goods from the king of Sodom. And there he trusted God. In chapter 21, he released Ishmael and Hagar from his household. That must have been a great test when he had to turn out Ishmael, his firstborn. Now, chapter 22 brings us to the final test, I suggest. It came to pass after these things, after all these other things, the great test of turning out Ishmael and Hagar. Now, there's another test. Take Isaac, your son. God gave this command. Offer Isaac. Offer him up. Now, he responded to God's command to offer Isaac, even when he didn't understand the true meaning. But he concluded this, that God knew why, and therefore he believed that God would fulfill his promises through Isaac. Abraham's response to God's command was immediate. He didn't put off any time. It was unquestioning. He simply did what God asked him to do without question. That's faith. It was deliberate. He prepared the things that were necessary and made his way to the place that God told him of. And it was complete, for Isaac was laid on the altar, and he judged by faith that if God even took Isaac, he would have to restore him again in order to keep his own promises and fulfill the promises. So therefore, Abraham trusted God. The purpose of God then was to get Abraham's heart, and Abraham responded completely. He obeyed the command of the Lord. And what a beautiful picture we see in Abraham's response to God's request. But now we must look at the provision of God. This deals with the interesting truth of worship and what is involved. We noted already the preparation by Abraham. Abraham took the wood, he took the fire, he took the knife, and he built the altar. I suggested to you when we commenced our study in the life of Abraham, way back in chapter 12, that Abraham was a man who was always building altars. He was giving place to God time and time again. So here again, chapter 22, he built an altar. He built it on Mount Moriah, on the rock on Mount Moriah. That, by the way, I should say here, is the same place where Solomon built the temple. Today there stands on that spot the Mosque of Omar, and the rock is still there. So therefore he went to the place that God told him of. But now, there was the principle of worship which we have indicated already. And I remind you again that worship is offering something to God. Abraham offered what God requested, and he offered what God provided. So therefore we think now of the provision for worship. God shall provide himself a lamb. Now you remember what I said? He saw the ram caught by its horns in the thicket. He offered this to God. You see, Isaac died in figure. That's perfectly true. Hebrews 11 tells us that. Isaac went to the place of death in figure, but the lamb died in fact. This was substitution. The lamb had to die, and died as a substitute for Isaac, who died in figure. But let me press this home upon all our hearts. The combination of the Son of Promise with the Lamb of Provision sets forth in prefigure the great redemptive work of Calvary. Now the servants and the ass were not permitted to be present at the act of worship. Notice that? Verse 5, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. You know, if the servants and the ass were not permitted to be there, there must be some meaning. And may I suggest this? Servants are people who are in bondage, and the ass acts in self-will. That animal always acts in self-will. And you know, we cannot worship God acceptably till we are free from bondage and free from self-will. You cannot give acceptable worship to God if you're in bondage, and you cannot give acceptable worship to God in the strength of self-will. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. But here we know something of the provision of God, and he called the place Jehovah Jireh. That is, the Lord will see, or the Lord will provide. God provides the lamb, and with him he will freely provide, that is, he will give us all things, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. God has provided all that we need, my friend, if we're going to worship him correctly. Now, there is the promise of God. There is the repetition of former promises confirmed by oath. There is the addition of a new promise. Verse 15 says, And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba, the promise of God, bringing the reward to Abraham. Because that Abraham obeyed the Lord spoke to him again out of heaven. But I want you to notice something very interesting in the verses I have read right now. It distinctly says, So Abraham returned unto his young men. Now you remember, at the beginning of the chapter, he took Isaac, and it said that they both of them went together. So here we see a picture of Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain to the place of sacrifice. But when you come to verse 19, there's nothing said about Isaac. So Abraham returned unto his young men. It doesn't say Abraham and Isaac. Of course, someone says Isaac must have returned with him. Yes, perfectly so, but it's not mentioned. I wonder why. May I suggest that God is teaching us a lesson here, and the Spirit of God is simply telling us this, that Abraham took Isaac with him to the place of sacrifice, and he remains there in the place of sacrifice. And you don't read of Isaac again until you come to chapter 24. Now here we find him in the place of sacrifice, and he goes out, as it were, from the vision. You don't see him again. The Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, and the world has never seen him since. He rose triumphant from the dead, that's perfectly true, just as Isaac came back in figure as from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ went back to the glory, and he's hidden from the eyes of men. You see, Isaac in figure is left in the place of exaltation up on the mountaintop. Abraham returns to the young men. The next time we're introduced to Isaac will be in chapter 24 when he goes out to meet his bride. And the next time the Lord Jesus becomes visible will be when he breaks the clouds asunder and comes to take his waiting bride home, when the rapture will take place, and while Isaac is going to take his bride into his mother's tent, in chapter 24, Christ is going to take us into the Father's house. I just mentioned that, by the way. And then, as you close this chapter, there's the plan of God and Abraham's relatives. That is, at the end of the chapter, there is a little genealogy given. And in that genealogy, you'll notice that he brings us right down to those associated with Abraham. He brings us down from one to the other. And then, if you follow through this genealogy, it will have a connection with a greater genealogy leading on to the Savior. So therefore, I suggest to you that right here we're told something about his relatives. There's the information that Abraham received concerning his relatives. God knew all the names. There was the introduction of Rebekah. And that's the main thing I suggest to you in this little genealogy. As Rebekah is mentioned, who afterward becomes the wife of Isaac. It seems obvious that this closing section of chapter 22 is the introduction to Rebekah, who in chapter 24 will be joined to Isaac in marriage. From here on, Abraham will begin to give place to Isaac.